her.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long, hopping and a bopping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet. Blow Rockin' Robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock 'em tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise or loud, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go, Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rock, Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, go, Rockin' Robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock tonight.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And that music means our friends from the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center are chatting it up with us today about all things nature, which, you know, I don't know that much about, but boy, do I learn something every time I chat with our friends. We want to say welcome to Abby Holden. She is an interpretive naturalist, which I'm not sure what that is, so I'm going to learn more about that. And then we also want to say hello to Sierra Hiesala. She is an intern at the Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center, and we welcome you as well. How are you, ladies?
I'm great, Mo. How are you?
I am just great. And before we go any further, I just want to give a shout out to my friend, Abby.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. I know that most people take their birthdays off. Not you. You hold to your commitments, and we're so grateful for that. Happy birthday, Abby. I hope you can do something extra fun today. First of all, what is an interpretive naturalist, please?
So it's just like anybody you would meet here that works at Carpenter. So even Jesse, right, that you're pretty familiar with, or Kendall, our past intern, we're all naturalists. So Jesse would just be like an outreach naturalist. Interpretive naturalist is just a general way of saying I'm not fully designated into outreach yet. Basically, what a naturalist does is just take science and other things in nature and communicate them in a way to the public that might be easier to understand.
Oh.
So we're maybe a little bit of a middleman. So exactly like we're doing with these conversations with you, Mo, on the radio. Is a really good example of interpretation.
Well, we greatly appreciate these conversations. Thank you so much. Sierra, welcome to KDWA. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you still in school?
Yeah, so in order to complete my degree, I needed to complete an internship, and I was very grateful that CNC was willing to take me during COVID especially.
So what are your duties?
So as of right now, I have been doing a lot of animal care. I came in expecting a lot more programming, but obviously right now we don't have as many programs, which is fine because I'm learning a lot about a lot of the animals here and just the landscape here at the Nature Center.
So when you say animal care, I know that when your space was closed to the public, you still had to obviously feed the ambassadors that are at your space. Give people, hopefully nobody's eating breakfast right now, but give people an idea about what some of the things that those animals eat, because that makes me happy.
So first, I should probably, some of the animals at the Nature Center, we have an array of frogs, we have turtles, snakes, we have raptors, a whole bunch of fun stuff here. Throughout the day, I would say we do a lot of fruits and veggies for our animals, but our raptors get a more meaty diet, of course, so that would be rats, chicks, quails. We have Fish Fridays, which is always exciting, so... You know, all the good stuff. Abby and I talk about how they probably eat just as good, if not better, than us.
Oh, dear. You too. I'm worried about you now. Anyway, well, I'm so glad that you told us that. That is so fascinating to me because the show must go on and you still have to take care of your animal ambassadors, even though, you know, like you said, Sierra, some of the programming has been cut back, but I know you have continued to offer programs when you can. So tell us about some of that, please.
Yeah, so we have a bunch of stuff coming up. And speaking of critters and what they eat, Sierra's going to be doing a new social media campaign. So every Wednesday you can do Lunch with a Critter virtually. So if even though our visitor center is open now, if you are still uncomfortable kind of going into those public spaces, you can check out some of our animals virtually every Wednesday starting tomorrow. So that's a totally free event on our Facebook.
So who has lunch? Do you have lunch or does your critter friend?
The critters have lunch.
Gross. Is this on Zoom or something?
It'll be just like on a regular Facebook post. And Sierra's done a really nice job recording all of them and editing them together with some really interesting facts about each one of the animals. So they look really nice, and I'm really excited for us to share them.
Well, I love that. Sierra, do you recommend that I eat my lunch along with the bird or the critter or what?
I say if you're going for the turtles, you can definitely do that, but maybe not for like the snakes or the raptors. You're away from that.
Okay. Well, that's now we've been warned, right? So there you go. Well, that's a really cool idea. How fun. Who came up with that idea? I love that.
That was Abby.
Abby.
Something we've had on the docket for a while, but as you said, you know, the animals still need a lot of care, and we've had pretty slim staff here in person. A lot of us are working from home and virtually. So once we took Sierra on board, I was like, I would love it if you could help me with this project, and she jumped in with both feet. So we have quite a few events coming up that are self-guided. So we have two guided snowshoe hikes where you can follow either Al, our other naturalist, or I around with snowshoes, and we'll try and interpret some of the things we see in nature, try and see some cool tracks. So we have two offerings of those. One is February 7th, which is this weekend, at the Minnesota campus from 1 to 3. There are still spots left in that program, and you can just call our main line to reserve your spot. And there's also another one on February 20th at our Wisconsin campus just south of Hudson. So if you're looking to get out of Hastings and explore, you know, a new area, that's a really good opportunity to do that as well.
So do we stay on the trails, or is that snowshoes?
So that'll be snowshoes and more off-trail experience, which is pretty fun. And we do have snowshoes to accommodate pretty small children. So it can definitely be a whole family affair.
So let's really talk about this, because I think it's so fascinating in the wintertime when you do see different kinds of tracks. What are you seeing when you're out?
So especially here at the Nature Center, every day I'm out, I can see rabbit tracks, squirrel tracks, deer tracks if you're lucky. I know that Abby and I went for a little walk and we spotted some possum tracks, which is really interesting. But just being able to take a look at that, if you're outside at any time, like, you can always find tracks in the snow. It's super nice, especially as of recently, because it's probably been snowing like once a week, right? Mm-hmm. So always fun stuff to see outside.
And do some of these throw you, or do you know what all these look like? Like the possum, is it the tail that gives it away, or how do you know that it was a
definitely the tail? I wouldn't. So I am fairly new to interpreting tracks. So I've learned quite a bit just from when I started in the beginning or middle of January. So Abby taught me about the possum tracks, and it's been very interesting seeing those, because it just looks like there's a snake that's been going through there too.
And Carpenter is a really cool place to see tracks. I mean, you know, our Minnesota campus here, our home base in Hastings, is over 400 acres. So we've seen fox tracks in the last week. I just saw otter tracks on our little wetlands pond a couple weeks ago. But the cool thing about tracks, and especially with snow that makes them so easy to see, means that you can see tracks and interpret what's in your own backyard. Like, you don't have to make the trip to a natural area to have that experience and to practice doing those types of things in nature. So it is a really cool way to kind of see what those animals do when we're not around, based on where they scurry with their little tracks in the snow.
Have you had any tracks that have surprised you, that you didn't realize those kinds of animals were in the area?
Honestly, the possum was the most surprising, not because I didn't know they were here, but usually in the winter, they don't do well in the winter. with their exposed ears and tails and stuff like that. So I've never really seen them out and about in the winter. So when I first saw those tracks, it was a bit like, whoa, that's interesting. It kind of caught your eye right away. So that was a really cool thing to see that I've just never seen in tracks before. And then my favorite track that I've ever seen is an imprint of an owl going after, you know, a rabbit or a vole. It was a nice, like, little wing stamp of their wings and their tail in the snow, which was pretty, pretty cool.
I bet. Have you ever seen a groundhog come out of his den? Because we're just coming off of Groundhog Day, and I want to know when spring is coming, please.
So I have to tell you, Mo, Pennsylvania is in a huge snowstorm, and Pennsylvania Phil did not see his shadow, so we have 6 more weeks of winter.
Well, we kind of knew that anyway, didn't we?
Yes, but you know, when he does see a shadow, it brings us maybe some hope, even if it's a bit of false hope.
Was he hibernating, or tell me about the groundhog, and do you think that the possums are supposed to be hibernating?
Yeah, so the groundhogs definitely do hibernate. In February, you will start to see some of the males come out as early as February to kind of prepare for the breeding season, which happens in March. But usually they hibernate for about 3 months. And I have to tell you, I've only ever seen a groundhog in the wild once. And it was the highlight of my day because my birthday is Groundhog Day. So I would say it's my spirit animal. But it's, you know, very cute and like to eat, and they just kind of waddle around, so it's probably fitting. But when I saw it, it was pretty late fall, so he was definitely out looking for food to pack on those pounds to get ready for hibernation. So they build a pretty extensive den into a cliffside or into some, you know, a sandy cliffside. And that's where they hibernate. So a lot of times animals that dig dens are going underneath the frost line. So usually the frost from the air and the snow will only penetrate so far into the soil. So by digging a den under the ground, they can actually maintain pretty constant temperature throughout the winter, even if it is a bit colder. Kind of like if you go into a cave in the winter, it's usually about the same temperature as it is in the summer. Pretty constant.
Do we have groundhogs around here, please?
Yeah, absolutely. And where I saw our groundhog was actually at our Wisconsin campus when I was there this summer. But they go all the way from Alaska through Canada and upper North America. And then their range kind of ends about Alabama-ish in the south.
Sierra, do you have a spirit animal?
I would probably say a bear. I don't know. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. They're beautiful, beautiful creatures. I love them, and I enjoy my sleep, too. So I would say it probably resonates with me a bit.
How shocking would it be to find a bear around here?
You can definitely see them. We've seen black bears at our Minnesota campus before. I would guarantee that there's been black bears on the outskirts of Hastings, especially. Probably not right in town, but, you know, once you kind of go past Vermilion out there, wouldn't surprise me if someone's seen one in their backyard.
What else do you ladies want to tell me?
We do have some other events coming up. So along with our guided snowshoe hikes, we also have some self-guided full moon hikes. So we've done one just on the 29th of January, and it was completely full and went over well. And we also have one on Valentine's Day coming up, but it's unfortunately already completely full. So they've been really popular this year. We have two more, one on February 27th, which is a Saturday, and one on Sunday, March 28th. And so these hikes, you can either choose to walk or to snowshoe. And we kind of light the path with a few candles, but the idea of it is actually to light your way and see your way under the full moon, which is something that I feel like a lot of people don't take the time to do. We often are quick to pull out, you know, our phone flashlight or a headlamp, when really, if you take the time to let your eyes adjust, the full moon gives you plenty of light, and you actually see and hear more things, I find, and are a bit more in tune with nature. So those are really cool things to sign up for. And our summer camps are also open for registration now.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're attempting to do camps this year. A little bit different than normal, but trying to get them in and, you know, with in mind that things might change depending on the COVID situation. But they are open for registration. And we also have story times coming up. There's one on February 12th, which is going to be featuring Valentine's Day and foxes. And one on March 19th, which is going to be our annual maple syruping story time, which is always fun.
So can you look back in this last year, and what are some of the things that you think might continue even after the COVID protocols are lifted?
That's a really good question, Will. I think a lot of the virtual programs, you know, like maybe not the super in-depth ones, but kind of like this Lunch with a Critter thing or these self-guided hikes we're doing, I think that people are finding the convenience in being able to watch that video whenever they want to or participate in that webinar, you know, on their own time. And the self-guided stuff, you know, it's a bit different experience. You can come and chat with your friends and not have to listen to a naturalist the whole time if maybe that's not what you're in the mood for. So I think that we're going to see a bigger balance between things on your own and things that are guided.
So that's not so bad.
No, not at all. And actually, it's been really, really encouraging to see Carpenter's parking lot full throughout the winter and all the state parks full throughout the winter. I know I take my dog out every day, but in the winter you see a huge drop-off in people. So it's really encouraging for me that people are saying, you know, winter is not scary. We can still go out and enjoy nature. And I hope that that continues into the summer and into things like night hikes and stuff like that, where people just continue to build that connection with nature that has been so strong this year.
Well, tell us a little bit about the hiking paths. They are open?
Yeah, they're all open here at Carpenter and at the Minnesota campus. We do plow our paved trail every time it snows, so it gets a bit icy in spots, but honestly, we just walked most of it the other day, and I would say, you know, 95% of it's clear. And then the rest of our trails we leave, you know, as is. So some of them get a bit packed down, but they're a little more rugged, which can be nice, and that tends to be where I go. And then we also have the snowshoe track that you can follow if you don't feel comfortable going completely off trail. And that's open too this winter.
So if people want to learn more, where would you send them, please?
Yeah, so our website is www.carpenternaturecenter.org. And there you can find our hours, our location, any programs, all the registration forms for any of those summer camps or anything like that. And we also have a pretty active Facebook page, and you can just search Carpenter Nature Center on Facebook, and that'll have a link to all those events, as well as those cool things like the Lunch with the Critters.
I think that sounds so fun. Ladies, thank you so much. We learned a lot, like we always do. We want to thank our guest today, Abby Holden. She is an interpretive naturalist at Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. And we also want to thank intern Sierra Hiesela. So fun to hear about all the good things going on there. We really appreciate it. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings. Happy birthday, Abby.
He rocks in the treetop all the day long, hopping and a bopping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, 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 rock and robin. Tweet, 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 rock and robin. Tweet, 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 rock and robin, cause we're really gonna rock them tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go, rock and robin. Tweet, tweet, rock and robin. Tweet,